Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host, Avik, and today I'm thrilled to introduce you to our esteemed guest. I'm talking about Dr. Fred Moss. So welcome to the show, Dr. Fred.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you, Avik.
Lovely, lovely. So Dr. Fred, like before we start our conversation, because today's topic is very great, where we'll be talking about holistic health. So we'll explore the holistic health for mind, body, and the soul. But before we do that, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Dr. Moss is not your typical psychiatrist. He is a mental health advocate on a mission to revolutionize the field through compassion, authenticity, and holistic approaches. So with a wealth of experience as a keynote speaker, a psychiatry expert witness, podcaster, mental health coach, and the educator, so Dr. Moss has dedicated his life to helping people find their true selves and live authentically. Yes. So through his welcome to humanity movement and true voice methodology, he empowers individuals to embrace their uniqueness and communicate their truth with the world. Yes, that's really, really interesting. So Dr. Moss's journey is as inspiring as it is impactful. So like from serving over 40,000 patients to leading transformative courses like Healing the Healer, he's reshaping the way we approach mental health and the well-being. So his passion for the genuine connections, creativity, creative expressions, and the compassionate care shines through in everything he does. So there's a lot to learn from him. So why to wait? Let's join us as Dr. Moss shares his groundbreaking perspectives on psychiatry, the power of authentic communication, and the importance of holistic well-being. So get ready to be inspired, informed, and uplifted as we deep dive into the heart of mental health with Dr. Fred in the show. So welcome to the show again, Dr. Fred.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much. Great introduction. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Fred. So Dr. Fred, I'd like to start with, like, for the listeners, if you can share with us your definition of holistic health and at the same time, why it's so, so essential for overall well-being.
Yeah, it's a great question. So holistic health, what we're really looking at here is that there's no separation between the mind and the body. And we all are, you know, one item. And not only that, we are one. So when we start looking at what does holistic mean, we're looking at a broader picture of than what we usually take. People come to the mental health professional frequently trying to get confirmation that there's something wrong with them. They come to the mental health practitioner hoping that we can give them a diagnosis that will explain why they're doing things that they otherwise wish they weren't doing, or thinking things that they otherwise wish they weren't thinking, or saying things that they otherwise wish that they weren't saying. And they want to have a diagnosis so that the diagnosis will tell them that what is wrong with them. So they can then step forward and say, ah, that wasn't me, that was my ADHD, or that wasn't me, that was my social phobia, that was my post-traumatic stress disorder, that was my autistic spectrum disorder, that was my narcissistic personality disorder, that was my, you know, social phobia, or major depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, whatever you want to say. In reality, when we look at holistic health, we start seeing that without separation of mind, body, and spirit, we start getting that we can come at the person in a way that resonates harmonically with their true self. How do we do that? We communicate effectively. And as you already mentioned, what is the most important piece of communication? It literally isn't speaking. You know, when we say something like, will you please share? We think that the other person is now set to speak. But in reality, in order to share, you're going to have to both speak and the more important feature, of course, is to listen. What about listening? I'm listening for what is being called for, not simply through the voice of the other person, but through the unspoken voices that also take place as well. What are the circumstances? What is this person actually hoping that I hear? And can I open myself up to listening to exactly that? Not only from one other person, by the way, that can be from your family or from a small group or a large group or the community at large or even the world. What is it that's being seeking to emerge? Again, holistically, we look even not only at the singular psychiatric diagnosis, which is really minimal and reductionistic. Not only that, we then look at the whole person, but not only the whole person as part of a community, and not only that, the community is part of the world. Yeah. The world of humanity, which is simply part of an even larger world. Yeah. And we start really taking attention to what is it that we can do, that we can make a contribution to the world to leave the world a better place than when we arrived.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with you. So with this, like, if you can also share, like, how do you integrate the mind, body, and the soul aspects into the approach to the holistic health?
Yeah. So the best way to integrate it is to be it yourself. I think there was there's this idea of, you know, be the change you want to be see in the world. And there's this real notion that if I am walking around certain, or at least aware, that my mind, body, and soul are all one, and I walk from that perspective, that can set the stage for creating a space for other people to also live in that environment. Now, I don't know about you, but I often am, seduced or compelled to reduce myself to having a mind over here and a body over there and a soul over there, as if they're three different things. But not only are they not three different things, they're one thing. And even on a larger scale, your mind and my mind are one thing. Your soul and my soul are one thing. And, you know, and then your mind, body, and soul are my mind, body, and soul. We start realizing that this is just one experience that we're all having. And it leaves open and embracing the possibility of embracing things that otherwise are uncomfortable or really, you know, really distressing. And we can still embrace all the things from the really wonderful and ecstatic producing experiences all the way down to the intolerable or the painful and miserable experiences and see those as part of one as well. This thing called life serves up a smorgasbord of multiple opportunities to take on challenges and hurdles and experiences and to appreciate them for what they are, the opportunity, you could say, to be in pain, or it's not something we should seek out, don't get me wrong, but it's something that when it occurs, we should respect it as one of the opportunities that life gives us to respond or to react to an experience. Now, no one likes to be in pain. No, and I don't like to be in pain. No one likes misery. No one likes to be in any kind of way disturbed, but it happens. It's very much part of life every single day. And these days, maybe even more often than it used to. And so I'm not sure about that. And we get to really embrace it all. And once we embrace it all, there's a new level of freedom that arises when we don't have to feel like something is happening out there to us, but actually something is happening through us or with us. And there's a way to then resonate with other human beings who are going through similar experiences.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. So, I mean, one more thing is coming to my mind, like in your experience, like what are some of the common misconceptions about the holistic health? And if there is, like, if you can share.
Yeah, the common misconceptions about holistic health is that it's woo-woo or that it's, you know, alternative. That in some ways, if you don't agree with holistic health, if you agree more with the conventional approach, that you can set aside holistic health. Holistic health doesn't care whether you believe in it or not. Holistic health is just the way it is. It's not something that, you know, compartmentalizing our health into mind or body or soul is not the way life is. Holistic health simply is the way that life is. So the common misconception is that it's a choice. It turns out it's not a choice. We're always dealing with holistic health at a individual and global scale. So I would say that's the number one misconception, as if you don't believe in it, you're not part of it all of a sudden. No, if you don't believe it, you're very much still part of it. You're just part of it in a way of your contribution is somebody who's contributing to holistic health by being a portion of it that doesn't believe in it while they're contributing anyways.
Exactly. So, like, if you could also share us some of the practical strategies, like that we can incorporate into our daily lives to promote the holistic health.
Right. So I think the practical strategies are to pay attention to all of your experiences and to, if you can, to embrace and respect and honor and have compassion, acceptance, and forgiveness for all the experiences you're having in life. And that might be for other people as well. So not only to honor, accept, forgive, and have compassion for yourself, but for everybody, including that person over there who's saying something that you disagree with, or that person over there who you don't like at all. Like, it's okay to actually share the stage with people that you don't like. We've all been at dinners, family dinners, where the, you know, unwanted uncle is there, the undesirable family member, and they get to stay at the party. All you have to do is, you know, you can sit them in the corner if you want, or you could sit them at the end of the table, but they deserve to be fed as well. So yeah. The greatest strategy is really to recognize as best as we can that even the undesirables are part of this wonderful life we have. And then listen, I don't have any other more powerful interactive skill than listening. I wish I was a better listener. I always work on that every day. I don't know if you're like me, but you know, when someone else is talking, I often don't listen as well as I know I could, because I'm instead strategizing what's the next thing I'm going to say. What is it? Do I agree? Do I disagree? Is what they say true? Is what they say false? Do I like them? Do I not like them? Do I agree with them? You know, we ask those kinds of questions instead of simply getting out of our own way and listening to what's being called for and what's seeking to emerge. When we can do that, when we can listen and then embrace all of life, it leaves open the possibility of self-expression in a newer, more fantastic way. Right here, we're on a podcast, you know, we're an audio podcast. And what we're counting on right now is that one of us is speaking while the other one is listening. And we're hoping, praying, dreaming that if I say something, what I intended to say is actually going through the airwaves. How many miles is it? It's like, what, 10,000 miles from where I am to where you are? And you know, and we're hoping that it travels through the airwaves and it lands on that ears of yours and goes through your eardrums into your brain, and that you process it somewhat similar to what it was that I thought I said, and that you spontaneously respond to that the way that you do. And that we create an actual thread of communication through voice and hearing. That is a wild set of miracles to get any piece of communication done that way. We can communicate with words. We can communicate with the arts, with creativity, art, music, dancing, singing, drama, cooking, writing, gardening. Or we can communicate oftentimes without even saying a word. Like there's an opportunity to communicate together with another person and to resonate harmonically with another person, like a pair of tuning forks, or with a group of people, like a group of tuning forks, so that we can really become more aware of the fact that we are all one. Again, I don't mean to really harp on this idea that we are all one, but after all, you know, and I know we really are. And it's not that big a deal. You know, once you know it, it's not that, it's really not that big of a deal. Like once it's recognized as being so, it's just like the sun coming, you know, the sun is pretty remarkable, right? Yeah. I don't know about you. I'm seeing the sun right now. I know the sun's gone down over there.
Yeah.
But the sun is coming through the window right now. That's a remarkable beast of a creature, that sun of ours. And it might be more remarkable than the fact that we are one, but they're both pretty remarkable. And one of them we recognize every day without questioning, and the other one we question all day without recognizing.
Yeah. That's a lovely example, I would say. Lovely example, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, one more thing. This thing is coming to my mind. Like, how does this stress impact the holistic health, and what are the techniques do you recommend for managing the stress effectively?
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, we get stressed from our outside circumstances. Things happen. We wish that they wouldn't happen, but they happen. We get stretched. We didn't get something done that we thought we should get done, or we said, or we did something wrong, or someone else said, or they did something that's disturbing, or the weather turned back, or we were late, or we, you know, sometimes it can be more severe than that stress. Like we have a family member or a loved one who's sick, or who may be even worse that we might have lost, and or we may have financial problems, or we may have our own health problems, or relationship problems, or work problems. Any of those things can cause what we call stress. Now, using the techniques we talked about earlier, we don't have to get overly stressed, honestly, by any of those things. We don't have to, but it happens anyways. I don't know about you, but I'm not a master of stress. I don't have stress all figured out. I'm stressed every day, but just like everybody else. And in these days, there's plenty of reasons to be stressed, right? You look outside the window, if you want to find a reason to be stressed, how long will it take you? Like less than 1 second. No problem. So how does that affect it? Well, we start personalizing that we have an experience going on that's different than everybody else. Ours is a little bit more severe, a little bit more painful, a little bit more unmanageable. And then it can affect our health because it leads to dis-ease, right? It leads to some form of illness. The idea being here that, you know, if we recognize it as stress rather than what life is serving up to us, do you see that if we are able to embrace life as it occurs, then these so-called stressful events reduce the power that they have on us. We begin to really expect and understand that life has its very challenging moments. I woke up just a couple hours ago, and you know, I don't always wake up in a great mood. I wake up and wonder, what am I doing here? Why should I even get, you know, awake? Why should I get out of bed? And I go through a little bit of a routine. And that routine for me these days includes a gratitude list. It includes stepping outside. It includes taking a cold shower, taking care of my cats, you know, drinking some water, getting dressed, checking on the status of my household, maybe like putting the dishes away, or, you know, taking my vitamins, those kinds of things as part of my early routine, or getting in touch with my real self, or saying hello to the spirit. When I step outdoors, I say, I look at the sky. I look at that sun of ours. Usually in the morning, it's before the sun rises. So I look at the stars. And I really can appreciate at that moment that life is multifactorial and multidimensional. And when I get an opportunity to do that, then stress itself is reduced considerably. And I can then step a little bit more confidently into the world, knowing that I have a chance somehow, in some way, to make a contribution today that is worthwhile. Maybe right here in this conversation, our listeners might be getting something that is helping them get through their day or helping them redesign what they might be able to do to have a life that is more aligned with who, how they want it to go and get a life of joy. You know, it'd be right. Wouldn't it be great? Like if we could all perceive joy, no matter what the circumstances are, it seems to me we would have reached the edge of the cliff. That would be really beautiful if each and every human being could find joy. I know in India and all around the world, sometimes the people who are really poor or people who are living with, you know, with circumstances that neither you nor me would want for ourselves can be very happy. It's an amazing example. Like, you don't have to have all of these material goods to be happy. You can, I'm not looking at living in squalor. I'm not looking at the next time that I'm homeless. I'm not eager to go there. But once we get to that space, we start seeing that the external events and the external experiences don't really define how it is that we perceive life. We have an opportunity to filter these life experiences and live a life that's consistent with our core values.
Mm. No, definitely true. Very, very. So that's really great. So what advice would you give to someone who is interested in exploring the holistic health and at the same time doesn't know where to start? So
yeah,
advice.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the one piece of advice it's really important to get, even though it's really difficult to absorb and to metabolize, is maybe there's nothing wrong with you. Maybe there's nothing wrong with you. See, each and every human is pretty sure that there's something wrong with them. I think there's something wrong with me. I don't know about you, but sometimes you probably think there's something wrong with you. I often think there's something wrong with me. I'm so different. I'm different than anybody I know, you know? And then I like to believe that anyways. But that's because I'm comparing my insides with everybody's outsides, and that's not a fair comparison.
Exactly.
You see me how you see me, which is way different than I see me. And, you know, I might think there's something really crazily wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Well, when you start realizing that it's normal to think that there's something wrong with you, you can wash away the idea that there's something wrong with you. Yes, you're in pain. Yes, you're miserable. You're confused. You're in discomfort. You're sad. You're scared. Any of those negative vibration experiences, even when they're occurring, and they sometimes occur with the add-on feature that, oh, there's something wrong with me, perhaps there is nothing wrong with you. And what I have found out to be the most potent medicine available for all of humanity, much more potent than anything that's come out of any laboratory, and frankly, also more potent than anything that's ever come out of the ground. You know, some people like plant medicines and all that. That's beautiful stuff. There's great stuff in plant medicine and food. But what we want more than anything is to be heard and seen for who we are and who we're not. We want to connect with another human being, and we want to connect with a group of human beings. Now, I've said this before in recent podcasts. Some people say, well, I know some people who don't want to connect. The reason they don't want to connect is they have tried connecting and it didn't work out for them, or they felt hurt. So they don't want to connect. They understand that they would love to connect too. If you ask these people who don't want to connect, what would, if they found the perfect partner or someone that they truly could relate to, what would they do? Yeah, they'd jump at it. They would want that. But these people become so resigned that it's not going to happen in this lifetime that they choose to be isolated, or they choose to go into a cave in Tibet or anywhere, you know, like they want to be, you know, hide away from people. And there is some value, by the way, in isolating and meditating and mindfulness and being with yourself and being comfortable sitting still. Some very, very real value in that. And just, you know, coming in tune with the world around us. But ultimately, harmonically resonating with our community and our universe and with another person is the finest medicine that I know that exists in all of life.
Yeah. No, that's really lovely. And thanks for sharing your insights, because it's definitely going to help listeners. They can resonate with what you have mentioned today. So with this, as we wrap up this insightful episode of BizBlend and where harmony within exploring the holistic health for mind, body, and the soul, I definitely want to extend a heartfelt thank you to Dr. Fred for sharing his wealth of knowledge and expertise with us today. So, dear listeners, like Dr. Fred has illuminated the path to the holistic well-being, reminding us of the interconnectedness of our mind, body, and the soul. So his dedication to the authenticity, compassion, and transformative healing serves as a beacon of inspiration for all of us. So, but before we move on, I would love to request Dr. Fred, like if someone wants to connect with you, how they can connect.
Right. Thank you for that. And thank you again for the summary. Very beautifully said. If you really want to work with me, which I am hoping to work with you, and especially if any of this resonates with you, one of the things you can do is you can go to drfred360.com. That's drfred360.com. And you'll see a lot of the things that I'm up to. There's some freebies there. There's access to my classes, access to my books. There's some you can get some PDFs that are there. You can get a taste of some of the projects that I've been on and projects that I'm taking care of. That's a good space to see a lot of what I'm up to. You can also go to welcometohumanity.net. That's my my main website, going through a little bit of a face change these days, a facelift. I also buzz around social media, of course. I'm on LinkedIn and I'm on Facebook, and you can find me Dr. Fred or Fred Moss. I'm, you know, for your listeners, I can offer a free discovery call. As the undoctor, I like to take people off of medicine, off of their diagnosis, and give them their life back. Some people have been placed on medicines and got a new diagnosis because they sought out the confirmation that something was wrong with them, and someone gave it to them. Yeah. It's possible. The most important advice I gave in this talk, and so I'd like to give all day, it's just possible that there's nothing wrong with you. We don't blame a log for burning in the fire, right? It's just hot, and a log burns in a fire. Well, same kind of thing. We don't blame you for being uncomfortable in an uncomfortable world. It is no sign of mental health to be well adjusted to a sick society. I believe that was Krishnamurti who said that. And it's very, very important to get that. There's no sign of mental health to be well adjusted to a very sick society. And we have a sick society. I'm not going to lie. And so being uncomfortable in this society might be a sign that you're simply a variant of normal. And congratulations and welcome to humanity.
That's really lovely. Great. So also, dear listeners, what I'll do, I'll mention all the details and everything on the show notes so that you can easily connect with Dr. Fred. And before we move on, always remember the journey to the holistic health is ongoing. And it begins with a commitment to the self-awareness, self-care, and the self-love. So let's continue to nurture our holistic well-being and strive for the harmony within ourselves and the world around us. So if you have found value in today's episode, do not forget to subscribe to our podcast for more enriching conversations on holistic health and the wellness. So until next time, may you find the peace, balance, and the harmony in every aspect of your life. So thank you for tuning in. Have a great day ahead.